Hey everybody, and welcome back to Trailer Blazers. My name is Nick Kelly, and I'm sporting my new look after having been redesigned due to fan backlash.
And I'm Ben Moon, and I have spoken.
That's a good little Nick Nolte voice you got there.
Old Nick Nolte with the jowls, you know, alien Nick Nolte.
Yeah, I think he's one of those guys from Cloud City, right?
I think so. I mean, he has goggles. Maybe he works on the outside of Cloud City.
Yeah, maybe he was there for a while and then he retired.
Maybe so. Folks, did you watch that Mandalorian?
It's so good. It's everything I wanted it to be and maybe more.
Listen, beforehand, you know how sometimes you don't know that you want something, but you actually do want it, and then somebody makes it, and you're like, that's what I didn't know I wanted?
Yeah, it's like this deep need within your soul that you don't know needs to be filled.
Well, The Mandalorian was not that, because it was the space western that I knew I wanted, and then they gave it to me, and it was confirmed wanted. I loved every second of it.
Have you watched the second episode yet?
I am watching that after we record the podcast here tonight.
I watched it. More goodness. I won't say anything.
So I watched the first episode, with my girls, which was a lot of fun. And then I watched it with my wife, which was also a lot of fun. The second time through, it's great. Gosh, it is great.
Yeah, I watched it a couple times as well, the first episode. I just saw the second one, so I haven't watched that twice. But just looking at all the different creatures, like, there's more original Star Wars aliens that you would expect to see than there is in the entirety of, like, The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi combined.
Man, and there, you know the scene where he's talking to Apollo Creed and he's, like, in that bar? There's a shot of the same alien race as RMA Isolo, who's one of the Cloud Riders in Solo, but without the helmet. And so I was just geeking out over that, man. I'm a big Cloud Rider fan.
Yeah, you had pointed that out to me, I think, via text, and that was one of the things I looked for and noticed in my second viewing there.
Gosh, I'm hoping this is going to be really a new paradigm for TV series, and I think hopefully, well, I know a lot of, I haven't heard a single naysayer on this show. Everybody likes it. All the haters of Episode 8, all the people who loved Episode 8, both of those crew, they love The Mandalorian.
This is, to me, peak Star Wars. Like, this is the most Star Wars-y Star Wars that Star Wars since the original trilogy.
Are we living our best Star Wars life now?
I think we've launched into our best Star Wars life. And plus that the new game came out is getting really good reviews.
Yeah, I am going to play that. I'm actually going to wait till it comes out on Stadia, but everybody that I've talked to that has played it is loving it, says it's beautiful. Respawn can make a good game, so very cool.
I have the last week off of November, and I'm going to dive into it then.
Just dive right in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, folks, we've got a new segment for you today, and it's called the Question Times. Questions Times.
These are important times, and we have to ask many questions of ourselves, of you, the audience, of everyone involved.
Important questions for important lives in important times. All right, so this first question is, we're both going to answer these.
We are.
Together.
It's true. We'll find the answer deep within our souls.
Within. Now, the first question is, what does it take for a show to get a season 2 before season 1 is even out?
That's a good question. I think there may be two answers to it. One of them being a marketing answer, and one of them being a quality answer.
Here's the way it goes in my mind. They preview the show to focus groups, and they're like, oh, wow, this is great. This Witcher, man, season 1 was great. Are y'all going to plan to make a season 2?
That's the way that I think would make the most sense. But there's the marketing aspect of maybe they plan on ordering a certain amount of episodes, which could be 2 seasons long worth of episodes. And if they say, this is a little more cynical of an answer, but if they say that they're ordering season 2 before season 1 is even launched, that could build good word of mouth.
That could. Well, and it certainly gives people the idea that it's going to be good, that season 1's going to hit, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a season 2 of The Witcher already in production, and then Mandalorian season 2, I believe, is also in production.
Yeah, Jon Favreau tweeted a picture of the helmet and said, like, welcome from the set of season 2, I believe.
And that's exciting, because I want all the Star Wars they'll give me, especially if it's that quality, that good.
And I was happy to see the Witcher announcement use the steel and silver sword. So people weren't sure if they would have two swords in the show, because it's more of a game mechanic that he has the two swords, but people like the two swords, so I think it's nice to have elements for both people who are fans of the books and people who are fans of the games, because both of those groups of people are going to be coming towards the Netflix show.
Steel for humans and silver for monsters, right?
Yeah, they're both for monsters.
I love that. The other question is, and this is going back to Star Wars, but is the movie Solo the first half of Aladdin, but in space?
I guess it kind of is.
He's like a street rat running around in the city slums, and then gets sort of his breakaway chance to make a change.
Does that make Chewbacca Abu?
Yes, a giant Abu. I didn't even think about that. It is really it's more and more in my mind like Aladdin in space.
Could you think what would happen, how the tides would have turned if Abu was the size of Chewbacca in the actual Aladdin Disney movie?
I wonder if they're ever in the future going to have like a game genie for movies, and you like can change things and just watch the normal movie, but it makes Abu the size of a Wookiee.
Here comes Aladdin and his pet Gigantopithecus.
Do you remember Game Genie, man? I love that thing.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really have a lot of consoles, but my cousin had that thing, and I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be moon jumping in Mario. Man, oh, yeah. those are the days. So this is a Disney Plus question. Is Jeff Goldblum a national treasure or the greatest national treasure?
I think he might be the greatest national treasure, because not only was he in Jurassic Park, but he's also the greatest, weirdest human that ever lived.
He is. He was also in Independence Day. And this new show on Disney Plus, guys, first episode's out, The World According to Jeff Goldblum. And man, if you just want a quirkster, I mean, the guy's just pretty mesmerizing and funny to watch.
It might be the quirkiest thing I've ever seen.
I think it might be the yeah, exactly. And also, I don't know that Jeff Goldblum has ever, like, run a day in his life.
No, I knew you were going to like this one, though, because of all the fancy shoes.
Guys, I'll tell you, I like shoes, okay? I like shoes a lot. I have to, like, hold myself back from buying funky shoes.
Were you expecting his custom pair to be a really bonkers, crazy thing at the end?
You know, I didn't really have any expectations. I really wasn't that big on them. I mean, they were just black, so... I mean, I like, you know, flecks of neon green in there or something to kind of break it up, but
I liked how they turned out. I thought it was like a little classier than I expected.
They were pretty classy, I would say, and you know, Jeff Goldblum probably would only wear something pretty classy, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, he sort of has like a hipster vibe too, though, so I could see it being a little more, I think, what did he say, bohemian like 70 times?
Yeah, he did. he did say that. Also, those wads of cash, man, at that sneaker con. I really want to go to sneaker con, by the way.
That was really funny. That was the funniest part of the episode, was the sneaker con and people just like busting out like $10,000 of cash.
It was like drug deals, but it was legal.
Yeah. The guy was doing the shoe deal and Goldblum is just like, don't interrupt these guys. Don't look over there.
And here we are at the last question. Okay, so the last question of the new segment, Question Times, is, do art house shows exist? So we have art house movies, but do art house shows exist?
I'm curious what prompted you to create this question.
I was just thinking about like Scorsese, all the stuff we've been talking about, and thinking about Disney Plus and like what we're watching are, you know, kind of these blockbustery type of series, all the Marvel stuff, Star Wars stuff. And I thought, you know, what if Disney came out with like an art house show, like something directed by the guy, what's his name? He did that Noah movie.
Oh, Darren Aronofsky.
Yeah. Like, what if Darren Aronofsky made a show for Disney Plus and it was just real artsy?
Yeah. I don't know if he's ever dipped into TV. I would say definitely that Twin Peaks is a art house show. Especially season 3 of Twin Peaks, the new season. David Lynch put a quote at the end of Twin Peaks, the original run, where Laura Palmer in the Black Lodge said, "I'll see you again in 25 years. And then 25 years later, season 3 comes out, and it's the weirdest thing ever. I love it so much.
Well, maybe they do. Maybe write into us and let us know about some art house shows.
Yeah, let us know about art house shows. Let us know if you checked out the Jeff Goldblum show on Disney+. And what kind of creature from the Ice Age you would like to see paired up with Aladdin.
Guys, if you don't know, Nick and I really like the giant mammals of yesteryear.
Yeah, if there's one thing you can say about Nick and Ben, it's that they love the mammals of the greater Pleistocene epoch.
We do, and the Oligocene or whatever epoch as well. Yeah, so
Pleistocene.
We love that stuff, man. It's like I want to time travel and see them big mammals.
I want to ride around on a megatherium.
Who doesn't? I mean, you know. Speaking of mammalia, young Nick, let's talk about these new trailers, and we're going to start it off with something that was big on the intranets.
This might be the biggest thing of the decade.
Guys, it is the redesigned Sonic the Hedgehog.
This trailer came out this week and had pretty much exploded the entire internet.
Yes, it was. Well, first of all, let's just say, objectively, this trailer was cut much better than the first.
You're correct.
And then on two, they absolutely knocked it out of the park with making Sonic look like Sonic and not some anthropomorphic nightmare.
Yeah, not some Dark Ages homunculus come to life with human teeth.
With the teeth, man. Just getting rid of the teeth was good enough.
They turned him from a Dark Souls boss into a Sega character.
Gosh, they really did. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, look, you know, it's a kid's movie. We can tell. But honestly, we just want to go see it just to support the fact that those artists really... turned it around, baby.
Yeah, the director of Sonic, Jeff Fowler, I think his name is Jeff Fowler. Yeah, Jeff Fowler was on Twitter thanking people for all the kind responses to this one. Because I'm pretty sure he was the one that pushed for the redesign because of the negative reaction in the first place.
Yeah, I think the movie now is going to do much better. And probably a lot of people that maybe weren't going to go see it before might go see it just to... support it.
Yeah, when he pulled out the little ring, I was like, oh, sweet, coins. And then I was like, wait, coins are Mario. Sonic is rings. And I was like, he's holding a ring. Why did I even say that?
Why did you, Nick? Where were you in your mind?
I was combining my old video games in my head. So I was one of those fake nerds that's complaining about the old Sonic, and then I make a Mario reference when the new trailer comes out.
Go ahead and pack up your things.
Yeah, Rick. They're already packed. I'm just waiting for my Uber to get here.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, go check out the new Sonic. I mean, I don't know how you've not seen it by now. It was all over everything on the intranets. All right. So we have a Grand Island trailer with Nick Cage.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try and find a Nick Cage movie every week and put it in this podcast because we've had one for the last three, I think.
Is Nick Cage Multiple Man from X-Force?
I think it's possible that he could be, or perhaps he cloned himself many years ago. We have a prestige thing going on here where there's two of them. Oh, hey, that would explain the adaptation. It wasn't Nick Cage playing two characters. It was both Nick Cages. I think that's what it is. This movie looks ridiculous. Kelsey Grammer was in there. He looked like the weird southern Nick Cage from Con Air.
With his hair flowing in the breeze?
Yeah, that weird hair. He's got like a creepy serial killer beard. He's hiring some guy to kill his wife. And I think, I don't know, the guy might be having an affair with the wife. There's a lot going on in this trailer.
Are we oversaturated with Nick Cage?
I don't think there's ever enough Nick Cage. In fact, there's a movie coming out where he's playing himself in the movie. About himself. but it's not like an autobiographical movie about him.
There was a movie fairly recently about like the end of the world and all the actors played themselves.
Yeah, that was, I think, called The End. No, it came out very close to At World's End, the Pirates of the Caribbean movie, and it had a very similar title, so it's hard to remember.
Yeah, but those actors played themselves.
Right.
In that movie.
Yeah, Jonah Hill was in it.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen, I think, James Franco.
Yeah, Scott Pilgrim was in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he got impaled by a lamppost.
Yes, yes. All right, so then also we have Hell on the Border.
This is about the first black marshal west of the Mississippi, I believe. His name was Bass Reeves.
Yeah, did you get sort of a low-budget vibe from this trailer?
Yeah, I think they do that a lot with Westerns, and like lower-budget genre films are easier to make now, so it probably wasn't a huge budget movie. Like, the cast is like Frank Grillo and Ron Perlman, so, you know, not, I don't really think there was any A-list people in there, but...
See, I think Ron Perlman is A-list. Is he not A-list?
I don't know if he's A-list. I mean, what's A-list? A-list to me is like Ben Affleck. Well, is he? I don't know. He's falling down a little, maybe.
He's in Netflix movies now.
Yeah, he was in a Netflix movie. Who's A-list? I guess I don't. Maybe my finger's not on the zeitgeist of the lists.
Apparently, Kristen Stewart is A-list because she's in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, and I don't understand that. So maybe I don't know.
Yeah, she's in actually one of these trailers that we watched. I know we're skipping, but Seberg. She's got short hair in this. I guess about the same time she made Charlie's Angels, she made this. She got that short hair.
Yeah, the pixie cut. I think everyone's got that going on now.
Yeah, is that what's in? I don't know what's in.
As far as I know, based on the Instagram feed, I think a lot of actresses have that haircut right now, so that must be popular.
You know, I've only seen one movie with Kristen Stewart in it, and it was The Huntsman, Snow White and the Huntsman.
Oh, yeah.
And the only thing I remember from that movie is she was just standing there with her mouth like halfway open, like almost every shot. And I was like, and by the end of the movie, I was like, if you don't close your mouth, because you're like, it's like she has this just sort of expressionless stare with the mouth half open.
I saw the first Twilight movie with riff tracks playing over it. So that was pretty entertaining. But yeah, I think I saw the Snow White movie too. I might have that. I might have bought it for $5. To watch it.
I feel like the trajectory of Robert Pattinson's career is better than Kristen Stewart.
Yeah, well, he's Batman now.
Yeah. I didn't see this new Lighthouse movie. Have you seen that?
No, I am looking forward to seeing that, though. I like Robert Eggers for a director. He made The Witch, which is one of the only horror movies that I really like.
I've not seen it.
It was good. It's a very creepy New England folklore type horror movie, not overly gratuitous or jump scary.
Not to be confused with Season of the Witch, right? Is that with Nick Cage?
Yeah, that's with Nicolas Cage and Ron Perlman, I believe.
Who's not an A-lister.
The top of the A-list with Nick Cage.
Yeah. Okay, and then we have this an animated movie. I guess this is Pixar, but it's a movie called Soul.
Yes. Starring Jamie Foxx and Tina Fey was in there somewhere.
That's a very... it's more of a teaser, really. I thought I didn't really get a good sense of what this movie is about.
Something about jazz musician who falls down a manhole, and I think he was a ghost after that, it looked like. I gotta say, I was blown away by how good Pixar is getting at their style of animation. Like, if you go back and look at, like, Toy Story 1, and then you go to this one, like... the animation is gorgeous.
Speaking of animation, I've trying to finish Moana, but I get pulled away every time I try to watch it. But man, the animation in Moana is just really popping, eye-popping.
I like that one. Love that Lin-Manuel Miranda, too.
Oh, yeah. Is eye-popping a thing? Is that when it's real good?
I think so. Did your eyes pop out?
They widened.
Well, if they actually pop out, you need to seek medical attention. You heard it here, folks.
But yeah, that Moana is eye widening. I'm loving that movie. I wasn't really big on Frozen. Wasn't big on Tangled. But this Moana, I'm digging on this Moana.
I did not see Frozen or Tangled, but I saw Moana in the theater.
Speaking of island paradises, we've got something called Fantasy Island.
Folks may remember this as a show from sometime in the 60s or 70s or something, or maybe the 80s. I don't know. I don't know when it was on. It's an old show. But it was where the look boss, Deplane, if you've ever heard that in anything referenced, that's from that. The old show was definitely not a scary thing or like a horror thing in any capacity, but this definitely is.
Yeah, I wasn't really interested in it. And there's one part in the trailer where you have this that generic kid laugh that's like they put in a lot of stuff. I think it's almost like the generic kid laughing version of the Wilhelm scream.
Oh, yeah, the bleh!
Yeah. So it's like you hear that Wilhelm scream and everything, and then and this kid laugh, it's in everything.
There's that, and then there's also a generic baby cry that's in everything. I used to notice that when I was a kid watching cartoons, that like a baby would cry in the cartoon, and it would always be the same from cartoon to cartoon. And then you sort of, as you get older, you learn that there's just this big database that they're taking these things out of.
I just don't understand why you wouldn't make new sounds for each thing.
I understand the Wilhelm scream because that's sort of become an in-joke amongst that kid laugh. And this movie is like comprised of people from canceled CW shows, like Maggie Q from Nikita is in there, and Lucy Hale from, I don't even remember what her show was called, like something about death. I don't know. She like was gonna die and then didn't. Life Sentence. That was it. Life Sentence.
I'm gonna make a statement, Nick.
Okay.
I hate everything on the CW.
Hmm.
I don't think that there's ever been anything of quality that has come out of the CW.
Well, that depends on if we're talking about the CW from its inception or before it, when it merged from the two other networks.
Was there something good in its inception?
Well, when it was WB before it was CW, there was Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which is one of the best things that was ever on television.
I was never a Buffy fan, even though I like Joss Whedon. I remember trying to watch Buffy and being like, God, this is the corniest, cheesiest thing I've seen, and I just can't do it.
I don't think that's the right attitude to watch Buffy with.
What's the right attitude?
Well, it's supposed to be cheesy. Like, it's not taking itself very seriously. It's very, if you understand Joss Whedon, which I know that you do, you have to watch it with the Joss Whedon eye. It's more of a comedy than it is like a scary show about vampires.
I guess it was just that shift from the movie in, you know, like, style and tone that was jarring to me.
See, I don't like the movie.
Oh, okay. Who was in that? Who starred in that movie?
Christy Swanson, Paul Rubens, Donald Sutherland.
Wow, you got a mind like a steel trap, dude. I don't remember any of that.
I only remember movie things. I don't know how to do math.
Speaking of math, there's a trailer for a movie.
Luke Perry.
Oh, Luke Perry. Yeah, that's right. What's Luke Perry doing these days? Is he in anything?
He died, actually.
Boy, that...
He was... This ties in nicely. He was on Riverdale on the CW, which I like to watch, even though it is terrible. It's ridiculous. But he was Archie's dad on Riverdale, and I think earlier this year or late last year, he actually had passed away.
So the question, what is he doing? Not a great question to ask in this case.
No, he's not doing anything.
Well, the relationship of math to this next trailer is somewhat there. It's a movie called The Mandela Effect.
Yeah, when I saw that they were making a movie of this, I thought to myself, oh no, this is going to be like the Hollywood version of this, and I was not wrong.
I actually got kind of excited watching. I was like, ooh, this trailer's good. I mean, it starts off really strong. It like takes you down the road of the internet Mandela effect stuff. And if you don't know what this is, the Mandela effect is like a shared wrong memory about something. So like if you think about the game Monopoly, And you think about the guy on the cover art, you know, the Mr. Monopoly guy. Is he wearing a monocle on his face?
And if you think that he was, you're not alone, because a lot of people think that. And then when you look at the actual board, he's not wearing one, and apparently never was.
So that collective shared memory that is incorrect is the Mandela effect. And also, I was under the impression, you know, when I was a kid, I used to read the Berenstain Bears.
Yeah, me too. I'm from the Berenstain Bears universe as well.
Yeah, so Nick and I are from the same universe, yep. And maybe you're from our universe too. But in this universe, it's the Berenstain Bears.
Yeah, and I think the reason is that we've crossed into this dark timeline universe, and this is the Berenstain universe, where everything has gone mad.
Nick, I'd like to think, since we're from the other universe, that maybe we're heroes in this one. We're here to help save the day in some way.
We're here to write the course of the universe through a podcast about movie trailers.
So we're not being great stewards with this power that we've been given.
I disagree. We really went to town on that Fantasy Island trailer.
Well, and we tell those animal movies who's boss.
Well, one of us does.
I put those animal movies in their place, ladies and gentlemen.
This podcast sponsored by A Reindeer's Journey.
I hope the wolves eat the baby reindeer. How about that? I hope the movie's 30 minutes long and it ends abruptly with the death of a baby reindeer.
You heard it here, folks. Ben is putting it out there that the movie's going to be 30 minutes long and end with the slaughter of many baby reindeers. The Mandela effect is actually called the Mandela effect for a specific reason, and it's because a lot of people have the quote-unquote false memory of Nelson Mandela dying in prison, where in fact he actually was released from prison, became like the president, and died after that. And I seem to remember him dying in prison, or at least people thinking that, so that leads me to think that was part of the Berenstain Bears universe, which I am from.
Well, this movie, the trailer for this movie starts out strong kind of with that Mandela effect stuff, and then and then things start to go haywire, and you start to see like the Matrix like glitching and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, oh man, I think this is going to be awesome. And then, boy, does it take a turn.
Yeah, that last third of the trailer, it really checks out. It starts to go into the simulation universe theory, which is a completely different, unrelated thing to the Mandela effect.
So they should have just kept it parallel universes, but they do this simulation theory. And really, the exact moment where I was like, was the main character guy's like, I make video games. I'm a coder. There's something that I can do here. And I'm like, are you serious? Because if this is code and this is a simulation, you're talking about something that is so far advanced over your little 8-bit platformer that you're probably, you know, making. Like, this is ridiculous. And then it just kind of derails from there.
Yeah, isn't the universe simulation thing based on, like, advanced string theory or something?
Well, it's some kind of way more advanced civilization or beings or whatever it may be. But some of the effects in that trailer were awesome. With like when his wife is like yelling in the yard and it pans around her and she's like, her face is like pixelated and stuff, and he's like stretching the pixels out. It's really awesome looking.
Yeah, it could have maybe benefited from a rewrite or something.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, so I'm no longer excited about this.
Do you remember the Jim Carrey movie, The Number 23?
I do remember it, but I never saw it.
I saw that one in the theater. It's a lot like this, where it's like, it's kind of a cool thing that's popular on the internet, like a little thing that goes around, and then Hollywood gets it and they suck all the magic out of it.
Boy, they're really just, they're like Dementors. Hollywood is like a bunch of Dementors.
Yeah, when they make these punch press things like this, eh.
Well, we're going to capitalize on this this phenomenon on the internet, the Mandela effect. You ever heard of that, boys?
I listened to a podcast about it.
We're going to make a movie about this. Put our finest writers on it.
Mm-hmm. And it's like a bunch of monkeys in a room with typewriters.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Now, we've got a kids movie, also a trailer for a kids movie, and you know the property. It's Scooby-Doo, but the name of the movie is Scoob.
Yeah, it looks like they're doing the origin story we all have been craving for how Scooby met Shaggy.
Boy, what I've always wanted. In this trailer, they reveal that Scooby-Doo's middle name is Doobie.
Well, wasn't that always somewhat evident?
No, it wasn't. it really wasn't. And the breakaway in this trailer is that Scooby-Doo no longer is like pseudo-speaking English. He's just like full-on speaking English.
Right. And I was looking at the cast list, and Frank Welker does the voice of Scooby-Doo, and I think Frank Welker's done the voice of Scooby-Doo for a long time. So maybe it's like that thing where Homer Simpson doesn't really sound like Homer Simpson anymore because Dan Castellaneta has been doing the voice for 30 years.
That's a long time to do a voice.
Yeah. But like they Hollywooded up the cast a little. Like Shaggy was Will Forte, and like Amanda Seyfried is Daphne, and like Zac Efron is Fred.
Don't care. I've never liked Scooby-Doo. I didn't like it as a kid. I don't like it now. It's a talking animal. and I'm just kidding. No, this is a computer animated thing, so it doesn't bother me. But this did not look interesting to me. I probably will not see it.
It bothered me a little that a traditionally hand-drawn looking cartoon was now a CG cartoon again, like everything else.
And, you know, the animation on this looks fine, but have you seen Moana?
I have. I saw
it. Yeah, like, once you see Moana, you're just like, I don't really want to watch anything else because it's not going to be as pretty.
I miss traditional hand-drawn animation.
Well, we're getting it with that Claws movie on Netflix.
Yeah, that's why that was like a breath of fresh air to me.
Just a breath of fresh air moving through Nick's hair in a meadow.
All the meadows are frozen right now. I'm in Wisconsin.
That is true. It's like less than 20 degrees there?
Yeah, I think it's about 10.
How do you live there?
I stay inside and I go underneath blankets.
Sounds awful. And also, wintertime movie, we've got a BBC One movie, A Christmas Carol.
Yeah, what is your opinion on Guy Pearce?
Wasn't he... Oh, gosh. Weyland Yutani.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, that's my favorite role of his.
I don't like Guy Pearce. I think he looks like a magician turned a horse into a man. But I don't only dislike him because he looks like a horse. I just think in Prometheus, I don't understand why Weyland Yutani was played by Guy Pearce as an old man. They should have just gotten Lance Henriksen, because wasn't Bishop supposed to be a clone of him?
I don't know, but that would make sense.
Not a fan of Guy Pearce and his weird teeth.
I don't really have a strong opinion of Guy Pearce. I really like Andy Serkis, and he's in this.
I love Andy Serkis. I can look past Guy Pearce, and I wish him well, as a matter of fact. But Andy Serkis is enough to pretty much make me watch something, so I might actually check this out because of that.
Yeah, and we also have Tom Hardy in it. Who is Tom Hardy? Playing himself.
Is Tom Hardy, is he wearing a mask of some kind?
I don't think so. I don't really remember. I don't really remember Tom Hardy in this.
I don't remember him in the trailer.
I don't know. Maybe he plays some kind of animated character or something.
Maybe he's Charles Dickens and he just wrote it and he's not on screen. I think he'll only do a movie if he can wear a mask or make up a weird voice.
That keeps it fresh, I imagine.
Yeah, I very much like, did you ever see The Revenant?
I did.
Yeah, his voice was very fun in that movie.
I often think about that bear and how you would survive that and getting in that cold water and all that, that he survived.
Yeah, that bear was pretty freaky, but it's nowhere near the Bear in the Edge, which was a real bear.
How does that Bear in the Edge compared to the bear in Annihilation?
Ooh, the Annihilation bear. I'm going to quote Adil Rifai from Hello from the Magic Tavern here. There is life before the Annihilation bear, and there is life after the Annihilation bear.
I think you've said that in this podcast before.
It's the only thing I can think of when I talk about Annihilation. That thing is a freaky, freaky thing. It's worth watching Annihilation just to experience that.
Freaky deaky. Now, we have a trailer called The Death and Life of John F. Donovan, and your boy fell asleep in this one.
Yeah, Ben, you couldn't even make it through the two-minute trailer.
I couldn't. I was like, I'm bored to tears. I don't even care about this. And it's got, like, a cast. Like, Susan Sarandon shows up. Natalie Portman shows up.
Thandie Newton.
Like, the cast is stacked, and yet I don't even know what it's about. I couldn't even pay attention long enough to figure out what this was about.
Well, as far as I could tell, it was some kid writing letters to a famous actor. And I don't know if it's a true story or not. I have no clue. And then the actor writes back, and people didn't believe him, and then the actor died, and he had all the letters or something. Mostly, it was Jon Snow doing an American accent, from what I could tell. He's not very good at the American accent, as evidenced by his turn in Silent Hill 2.
Also, the guy that plays Peregrine Took.
Billy Boyd.
No. Who's the other one?
Dominic Monaghan.
Dominic Monaghan. His English accent, or his American accent, is not good.
What does he do an American accent in?
There was some, I want to say it was like a Netflix movie or something where he's like in this gang of people, like a military type folks, and I can't even remember the name of it, but it's like one of the worst American accents I've ever heard.
Was that the movie with Ben Affleck?
I don't remember who else was in it, to be honest with you.
Well... there'll be a time and place for me to figure out what that movie is. But yeah, I'll have to check that out. I've never heard him do it. I saw Silent Hill 2 in the theater, and I just remember laughing at Sean Bean and Kit Harington having conversations in an American accent together because they were both so not great at it. It was like, "Hello, how are you, American friend of mine? Yes, I am from the America. Baseball and hot dogs."
I'll have to go back. I've never seen Silent Hill 2. I did see the first one.
The first one was a lot better than the second one, which was pretty bonkers.
Another trailer that came out was something for a movie called The Way Back.
Yeah, I watched this like a half an hour ago, and I barely remember what it was, apart from thinking that it reminded me kind of Finding Forrester.
Yeah, I don't think I finished this one either, just because it was so boring.
Yeah, you're the man now, dog.
Is this the Ben Affleck movie where he's a basketball coach?
Yeah, and he looks like Roy from The Office.
Yeah, he does. Oh, man, yeah. He really does. We were talking about this because we were watching that trailer earlier. And I was saying that, you know, once after Ben Affleck did Batman, his role as Batman, I think that he may have taken some, like, steroids or something like that.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. But you know, it made his face all puffed up.
Yeah.
Maybe he took the wrong kind of steroid and he got that puffy face.
Well, Stallone got caught with the steroids the one time, and everyone was like, "Stallone's on steroids," and he was like, "I'm not an athlete. I'm an actor. Who cares?" And everyone was like, "Oh yeah." I think they thought he was Rocky, and he's like, "You guys realize that I'm not actually Rocky. Like, that's a character."
Guys, don't do steroids.
No, you don't need. Like, we don't need it.
You don't need it. I mean, having big old muscles, it's not. I mean, it's not all that great.
No,
you don't have them forever. I mean, look at Schwarzenegger.
Plus, look, you can put them in the suit. Like, you don't need to be Batman with all these muscles. They just throw in some muscles in the suit, make you look tougher.
I think we're both on the idea of not taking steroids and not good for your health, guys.
And I'm not an anti-Ben Affleck person either. The Sum of All Fears is the second best Jack Ryan movie.
Yeah, I don't mind Ben Affleck either. A lot of people hate on him, but a lot of people are just haters and real negative. Don't go on Twitter,
that's
y'all.
That's true.
You'll find them. They're there.
Ben Affleck gets that all that guff because he had that period of time around 2004 where he made like Daredevil and Geely and stuff.
Never saw Geely, but he was in Armageddon.
Oh yeah, Armageddon.
Is that Michael Bay?
Oh yeah. That's vintage Michael Bay.
Liv Tyler though, she's pretty.
I saw her, I've never been able to take her seriously because I saw her do an interview for Armageddon and she kept calling it Armageddon.
No
way. And I was like, you can't just make up your own word for the movie. One day in my life, I will find a tape of that. I think it was like Letterman, because I know I used to watch Letterman and Conan constantly.
I need to see
But yeah, she would say, Armageddon. She's like, when I did Armageddon. And it wasn't, the interview wasn't for her appearance in Armageddon. She was referencing it. So it could be anything that happened since then. Armageddon. It's my white whale.
Oy. And then the last trailer that we watched that came out was for a computer animated or mixed reality trailer for the movie SpongeBob. They're making another SpongeBob movie.
Yes, they made one back in the day, traditional animated. This was sort of like a stop motion, almost like the Lego movie type look.
Yeah.
Now, I you're a little older than me, so I think you missed the SpongeBob bubble.
I did.
I was pretty much right in the wheelhouse, and there are things from the first couple years of SpongeBob that I will still think about and laugh. So, like, it had legs for a while there. It was pretty good, but I think the creator had passed away some years ago, and they might just be out of ideas at this point, because the trailer was kind of weird.
It was. It had Keanu Reeves in it, but not even the great Keanu could save this. It did not look good.
No.
I did not laugh.
No, me neither. And like I say, there are things from SpongeBob that I saw 20 years ago that still make me laugh. So this didn't have the staying power of that original run.
You know what I laughed at? This is random, but my wife shared a tweet that was somebody that said, all you need for a Winnie the Pooh costume is a red t-shirt and courage.
Yeah, I mean, that's... For all everyone listening knows, that's the costume that I'm wearing right now.
I thought that was funny. Okay, well, that does it for the new movie trailers. And so now we're going to talk about that segment. We're going to come back to a segment that we've done before called When We Gon' Get.
Ben, when we gon' get?
When we gon' gay it.
It's hard for me to do this Southern accent segment that you named, so you're going to have to be the one who says when we gon' get, because when I do it, it sounds condescending.
Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you what I've been thinking about several days, and when we gon' get that Cowboy Bebop live action on Netflix trailer.
That could be some time now, because I know that John Cho hurt himself while filming and they had to delay production by 9 whole months.
Yeah, and I don't feel like they'd been filming that long either, so I think this is going to be pushed back.
Yeah, there was I remember there was like an Instagram post where they had like a dog dish for the corgi.
That's all they showed?
Yeah, that's all they showed, but then John Cho hurt himself or they hurt him or something. I don't know what happened to him. I tried to find out what had happened and it just said he injured himself and... He delayed production by 9 months, so he probably broke a bone.
So I'm going to say we going to get a trailer for this probably fall 2020.
Yeah, I say November 2020.
Yeah, I was thinking, yeah, like, yeah, late fall maybe.
A year, yeah.
And then tell me this, when we going to get the trailer for season 2 of The Mandalorian.
Yeah, all we got so far was that tweet. I want to just hook it to my veins. Like, I've only seen 2 episodes, and I'm like, I need this entire thing so I can just constantly watch it without ever stopping.
I really never go back and watch TV shows unless it's Parks and Rec, The Office, or 30 Rock. But The Mandalorian, I will go back and watch again and again.
It's so good. Every second of it has been good so far.
Every second, Nick.
This is the Star Wars that I wanted when they were going to make a bunch of new Star Wars stuff.
This is a genre creating TV show, because I don't know that we've had like a good space western. Well, I take that back. Firefly was kind of like space western.
Yeah, that was definitely a space western, but yeah. It's been gone, you know. It has no one tried to fill its shoes. There hasn't been any space westerns. It's clearly a genre that works extremely well when intertwined.
Yeah, when you do it right. It's what we want, and I feel like The Mandalorian's like the spaghetti western in space. Like he's like the good, the bad, and the ugly. He's like Clint Eastwood's character.
Yeah, the man with no name.
The man with no name. Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, do y'all like it as much as we did? Because I know we're just a gushing about it, but gosh.
Yeah, I mean, of all the new Star Wars stuff that's come out, like, everything that's come out since Return of the Jedi, this is the best, yeah. In my opinion.
All right, so then I want to also know when we're going to get a trailer for The Falcon and Winter Soldier.
I'm going to guess 6 months on this, because they started filming. I saw a picture of Sebastian Stan on set.
Oh, I didn't see that. All I saw was the costume designs.
Oh, there's a picture of him. He's got short hair and everything.
Well, I love the look that they're going to have, at least from the concept art. And I was also thinking summer next year is when we'll get maybe the first teaser or the first trailer for it.
Yeah, maybe around like the time that Black Widow comes out.
I think because of the quality of The Mandalorian, I think we have a lot to look forward to with the Marvel stuff.
Yeah, if they're going to spend this amount of money and time on it and like get these creators like Dave Filoni and Taika Waititi and Jon Favreau on The Mandalorian, that's three of the best people, right? Like, Dave Filoni wrote all the Clone Wars and Rebels and stuff, so the lore for the Star Wars stuff fits together perfectly. So good. They just got all these great people.
Yeah, and Feige is part, you know, heading up all the shows as well, so you know it's going to be good. It's going to be all connected and just that same quality. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to it. I think Marvel's in the best place it can be right now with having Kevin Feige in charge of everything and no Ike Perlmutter nonsense.
I know it. Now, I do think, though, if you're talking about the other Marvel shows on Disney+, I don't think we're going to see any trailers for those. If we do, it'll probably be at the end of next year.
Yeah, probably Loki.
WandaVision, maybe?
Oh, yeah, WandaVision and Loki are both filming, I think. Because they just cast a woman today to be in Loki, and they don't know who she's playing yet. But there was an announcement earlier today. I didn't read too much about the announcement, but they got a cast member for Loki. WandaVision has to be starting soon or something, because I feel like I've seen more news about that. So I'm guessing we'll get Falcon and Winter Soldier, then WandaVision, then Loki.
That sounds about right. All right, so is there anything else you're wondering when we going to get?
No, I had seen an article on Slash Film earlier that there was a bunch of new release dates issued by Marvel, and it's true that the dates were released, but the article on Slash Film had all these titles, and I thought that they were legit for a minute there, and it turned out they were just speculative. And so they have, like, July 2022, October, February 2023, and they just put a bunch of titles in there because I saw Fantastic Four and I got really excited.
that's what I want, man. That Fantastic Four.
It can be done well, and it must be.
It must be. It will be. I have faith.
Me too.
All right, so that does it for when we gonna get.
When we gonna get? I can't do the Southern. It's condescending. I'm gonna have to do it like a Fargo voice.
How would you do it in Fargo voice?
When we gonna get?
Don't you know. When we gonna get?
Oh, sure.
All right, let's turn our attention now to Alterna trailers. This is gonna be a short one because there's not much.
Yeah.
But Motorola put out a 5-second teaser trailer for their new Razr phone. Folks, do you remember the Razr? Did you ever have a Razr back in the day?
No, I had a flip phone, and I went straight from that to a BlackBerry.
I had two Razrs back in the day, and I loved that thing, you know, before we had smartphones. Mm-hmm. And so this is actually a smartphone with a foldable screen, sort of like that that Samsung
Butterfly.
No, it's called something else.
Anyway, I just named it a butterfly because I feel like it should be called that.
That would make sense. So the Razr, it's the clamshell that you know. Like after, you know, when it folds up, and then when you open it up, it's like a 6.2 inch smartphone. But the teaser trailer is only 5 seconds. So if you go on Motorola's YouTube page, it's just that. So I think there's some other videos of like CNET or whatever that you can see it a little bit better. But it's kind of a lackluster thing. I mean, 5 seconds, good grief. Like you hardly can see anything.
What's your opinion on this folding smartphones?
I think it's a cool technology. I think I probably will not buy into it until I can wrap it around my wrist like a slap bracelet.
Yeah, I want to be basically Leela from Futurama before I buy into this.
Yeah, also this Razer phone is going to cost $1,500, so not interested.
Yeah, no, I paid enough for my my Note 9.
Then the other kind of alternative trailer, now this is very alternative. Guys, this is abstract.
Yeah, this is an art house segment.
Yeah, so the Black Friday ad scans are out. So for some of your favorite stores, Target, Walmart, Best Buy, Costco, you name it, they have these ad scans. And people put these ad scans up on the intranet. There's sites dedicated to this stuff so they can plan their Black Friday shopping.
Do you do Black Friday shopping?
Normally, I am all about it, but it's really just shopping for myself, and I usually just go buy Blu-rays for real cheap.
You and I are of one mind here.
Yeah, I rarely see something that I need to buy for someone else, and if I go out, it's like a dedicated mission to grab these very specific things.
Yeah, they closed the Best Buy that was like in the town that I live in, and so now, if I want to do it, I have to go all the way up to Milwaukee or out to Menominee Falls, which is like 30 minutes for either one of them, and I don't want to do that. They're too crowded. But I used to like to go and get cheap Blu-rays, and I was looking forward to doing that with 4K Blu-rays, and I got a bunch of 4K Blu-rays a couple years ago that were like $8.
Yep. It's and also there has been some years where Amazon matched the prices, and so I just ordered off of Amazon and don't even go out.
Yeah, I'll probably just check Amazon on Black Friday. I don't know.
I think this year I'm probably not going to go out. I'm going to check the shoe websites to see if they have any Black Friday sales, because I like the high tops, man.
Did you ever get those Ripley shoes from Alien?
I got the double pack, the Alien Stomper double pack by Reebok. So it has the Power Loader yellow versions and then the patent leather, like the black Alien version.
Yeah.
And I actually bought two of them because I was like, these are going to go up in value and I'm going to sell them on eBay for a whole lot more. And that hasn't happened yet. So I still have both pairs.
Oh, what size are they?
11 and a half.
That's too small for me.
So if any of you listening out there are in the market for an 11 and a half, I'll sell them to you for like $400 plus shipping.
Yeah, seems fair.
That's just like $15 in profit for me. So, and then I'll just take that money and buy some J's. So,
there you go. I don't know what that means because I'm not really a shoe guy, but I'm happy for you.
Yeah. all right. So that does it for Alternia Trailers.
Yeah, and the only thing we have this week for trailer mailers is I would like to say a special thank you to Kevin Bly for leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes with an actual review, too. So he wrote a nice little comment about how we have very good chemistry and how he's enjoying the show.
That's great. Even though the show is complete garbage, we're glad that you like it.
Yes, we're just scamming you, Kevin. This is just a trick for me to get on Janet Varney's podcast. I keep saying it.
That's what this whole thing's about.
Yeah, I will be a boy of summer.
There you go. All right, so if you guys want to reach us, you can check us out. We're on Instagram, and it's Trailer Blazers Podcast. That's where you can reach us on Instagram.
Yep, I put a lot of little updates throughout the week there. Screenshots of text conversations when we discover things like the Tiptoes trailer. I'll put news if we have a delay or something, because there was one week where we were both traveling across the country at different times and we were a little late there. So news like that tends to go on Instagram. We don't have Twitter. I hate Twitter. I deleted my own Twitter, so
it's so negative.
We don't do that one. Yeah, it's a garbage website.
But you can email us trailerblazerspod@gmail.com.
Trailerblazerspodcast at Instagram, but it's only I can't even say our own podcast name. TrailerBlazersPod@gmail.com.
Treasure Blazers. All right, so this was terrible, but next time we'll be deadly serious next time.
Probably not. But right, also, please go on Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review if you can. That's still the best way for the show to gain traction.
Yeah.
And thank you to everyone who did.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much. And if you're interested, stick around after the end of the show for the video games portion.
It's going to be a little light on the video games this week, but there's a couple things to talk about.
Yeah, pretty light, but yeah, we'll make the most of it, won't we, Nick?
We will.
Indubitably. All right, folks, I just want to say, happy Trailsers.
Happy Trailsers, Trailer Blurters.
Hey folks, welcome back to the video games portion, section, trash heap of the show.
Yes, welcome back to the Konami Code podcast, where we're going to talk about the way to get the old Nintendo coins from the Sonic game.
We're going to put the Game Genie on this portion of the podcast and moon jump around.
Yep. We're going to go up, up, down, down, left, right, something, something, blah, blah, blah.
You are a fake nerd. You're a plebe and a wannabe.
I told you I didn't have a video game console until the original Xbox.
Go ahead and pack up your things.
I told you, they're already packed. My Uber's not here yet.
No, I'm firing you from the video games portion of the show now.
Oh, no.
Guys, there's really only one good thing that came out this past week in the realm of video games. We're going to talk about several things. All other things are kind of crap. But this, guys, have you seen the Microsoft Flight Simulator trailer?
Yeah, back from the dark ages of the past, a new Microsoft Flight Simulator has emerged, and it is pretty great, actually.
Yeah, it is gorgeous, and it's very like lifelike. You can fly between buildings, and there's actual trees. It's not just smudges on the ground anymore.
Yep, we received the tip about this trailer from Jay, who you may remember from last week's trailer mailers, but he says that they have all the airports, like 40,000 of them. There's over a trillion trees mapped. He said it was something like petabytes of data for the maps.
I took an Alaskan cruise back in May of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to fly around over some of the places that I went to in Alaska and just do that.
That would be cool. I want to try and land a plane on the street outside my house.
Yeah. Yeah. This is honestly, I might get this for PC unless it comes out for, I don't think it's going to come out for Stadia, but I want to get it for my PC, and then I need to get a joystick and a throttle.
I was told by Jay that some people that are super into Flight Simulator will actually go to like junkyards and get like decommissioned planes and just get like the front of it like welded off and make like a little capsule to play this game in and set up like screens for the windows.
That is extra. That's very extra.
It's really cool, but like I could also see you could sink a lot of time and money into that. But, you know, if that's what you want to do, that seems pretty cool to me.
To me, when I think of somebody that does that, I think, okay, like this is probably your only hobby.
Like that's true.
Like you probably don't, you know, exercise or collect stamps or, you know, watch movies or I don't know a number of things, do photography, whatever it may be. Like this is probably your only hobby.
Yeah, I always called those one thing people.
I have too many interests, man. I have so many hobbies that I can't take on anymore. I wanted to pick up fencing, and my wife was like, no, you've already got enough hobbies, and she's not wrong.
Man, you and my friend Kevin are the same person. Like he does like a Patreon for some fencing thing. Hi, Kevin. I know you listen.
Bye, Kevin.
Ben's going to come sword fight you.
Guys, this Microsoft Flight, I don't know how much this is going to cost. I don't even know if my computer will run it. I have a 1060 8GB graphics card. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't find the specs for it. Just a couple trailers for it.
Also, do you think I should get, instead of a joystick, do you think I should get a yoke and rudder? pedals.
If you really want to get into it, that's probably the more authentic way to go.
I don't know. It's something to think about. I don't know how much that stuff is. If it's real expensive, I'll just say no and just use a controller.
Yeah, you could probably just go to like Goodwill and buy a joystick. They always have joysticks at Goodwill.
I don't know that I've ever seen one at mine.
No, ours is always like up to the rafters. I'll go check mine, and if there's a bunch of joysticks, I'll send you one.
Yeah, mail it to me. Trailer mailer it to me.
I'll trailer mailer it to you.
Okay, so now let's get to the garbage. There's just a bunch of stuff that I don't care about. There was a trailer. It was a announcement trailer for Rust, the game Rust, coming to consoles in 2020.
I have never heard of this game. It looked like the old DayZ zombie modification for that Arma or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a survival game where it's like other real players in the game with you, very much like Ark.
Or like and, Fortnite?
No, it's not a battle. It's not an arena, what do you call it? Battle Royale. It's not Battle Royale.
I thought it was a Battle Royale.
It's like a persistent world. And so I played Ark for a little bit with my buds and ended up hating it, absolutely hating it. I don't know if Rust is as tedious as Ark was, but Ark was like, hey, man, go to work during the day. Like, I'm at my real job. And then at the end of the day, you know, do your kids stuff, put the kids to bed, and then go back to work. Because that's what Ark is. It's just, it feels like work. It's tedious and not fun. And I imagine Rust is the same way. And so I do not care. Thank you so much.
Yeah, this one can go back into like the oblivion of me forgetting it existed in 30 seconds from now.
And the people on this that are listening that actually like Rust are shouting at us, probably. And I don't care. Play a game that's actually fun. Why don't you?
Yeah, they're probably just like, I don't know, 20 minutes ago Nick thought coins were in Sonic, so his video game opinions are irrelevant and inconsequential, which is also true. And I'm also really bad at video games, especially online ones.
Well, first of all, Rust is actually very fun, and until you've tried it, you really should not opine about this game.
Yeah, they might have a point. Maybe it's fun, but I don't want to play it.
No, there's too many other things to play, and another game I probably won't play is a game based off the anime One Punch Man. So this game is called One Punch Man, A Hero Nobody Knows.
This looked like a fighting game.
Yeah, I think it is a fighting game. But this particular trailer was the Street Date announced trailer.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming out February 28th. I probably won't play. I love the anime because it's very funny and sort of tongue-in-cheek.
No, I haven't seen it. But isn't the point of it that he beats everyone in one punch?
Basically, like, he's so strong that, yeah, just one punch can just end any enemy.
So if you're doing a fighting game, wouldn't you just pick him?
Well, that's what I thought. I was like, what's the point? How does he lose? I would say instead of playing this video game, just go back and watch the anime again because it's really fun.
Hmm.
And then we also had a trailer, again, for a release date. So we knew about this game previously, but this is the official release date trailer for a game called Bleeding Edge, coming out March 24th. And this trailer, the best way I can describe it is that it's Overwatch characters, but they were taken by Sid, the kid next door in the movie Toy Story.
Yeah, they look like they crawled out from under his bed to help Woody escape from Sid's room.
Yes. So it's like, just imagine all those Overwatch characters, but parts of their bodies are removed and replaced by crappy machine parts, I guess?
Yeah, it's like if the video game Paladins, which is pretty much already an Overwatch clone, was taken over by Sid. I don't know. It's weird. I did not shed a tear for this like I did for the Overwatch 2 trailer, I'll tell you that right now.
There were definitely no tears shed, even though it was kind of a cinematic type of trailer. This really did not grab my interest at all.
This trailer looked like a bunch of cosplayers making a roller derby variant group from Overwatch.
That is actually quite accurate. This is like one of those shows where you get people, they have to go into a junkyard and like build a machine that they have to do some task in. Except they built characters for this game.
This video game is like that show where they have to They have like 30 seconds to grab a bunch of ingredients in the grocery store, and then they have to make dishes out of them for the judges. Yeah, so I think you can tell from this that we're both definitely going to be picking up Bleeding Edge. This is my new favorite thing. I will be cosplaying from it at Dragon Con.
And nobody will recognize you.
Yep. Oh. I will definitely be playing the Jedi Outcast now, though. Jedi Outcast is an old game that I like. Jedi Fallen Order.
Jedi Outcast was good, though.
Yeah, that was like the last time they were good at making Star Wars games.
Yeah. I do want to check out the Fallen Order. Now, here's my problem with Fallen Order, though. It's like you have this universe filled with aliens and like cool characters, and we have to play another young white dude. Like,
yeah, he just looks like Archie from Riverdale.
And like, you know, it's cool. Like, I understand he's fairly likable in the game, but guys, we have so many aliens to pick from. What's it going to take for me to play a ding-dang alien in Star Wars?
Yeah, I want to be like a little Ithorian Jedi.
Or maybe you could even have like a character creator and you could pick your alien.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons I liked Clone Wars so much is that Ahsoka was a Togruta and not just like another little human.
Right, right. Well, I can't believe you're not a Togruta in this game, you would think.
Yeah, just let me, I don't know. And they keep, I like how they also keep finding Jedis that survived Order 66 whenever right. They want to make a new thing. Like, I love Rebels, but like, you know, they got all these extra Jedis in there, and I love Clone Wars, and I, you know, all of that, but it's just kind of funny, because I thought they were all supposed to be dead, and I thought the balance was like, that there was the Emperor and Darth Vader, and then like, Yoda and Obi-Wan left. I thought that was like the point of the prequels.
Apparently not. Well, there really wasn't any other sort of trailers this week for games. I think we're getting too close to Christmas, and so There's probably not going to be anything else till maybe after Christmas, I imagine. But we'll still have the video games portion of the podcast, because I'm always either playing video games or there's news that comes out. So and people like the video games portion.
I think it's important that we talk about the game Bleeding Edge in depth at least 8 minutes a week going forward.
Welcome to the video game slop.
Welcome to the slop bucket.
All right, folks. Well, that just about does it for this week's dish of Trailer Blazers. So I'm Ben, and I'm just a junkyard dog.
And I'm Nick, and I am a low-budget Western.
Happy Trailsers.
Happy Trailsers.